Blog Talk Radio.
You got it.
Well, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is Dr. John Newsom. I'm the pastor of Word of Faith Christian Center Church International. I like to say hello to everyone who's listening all around the world. Amen. Well, hello, Apostle. Well, I tell you, God is a good God. He's awesome. He's doing wonderful things, and I'm just excited. I'm excited about his word. I'm excited about him. I'm excited about what he's doing for his people. I'm just excited about the things of God. All right, now, well, let's get into the word of God. If you would, turn your Bibles with me. First, let's pray. Father God, we just thank you. We love you. I appreciate you, Father God. Bless those who are listening. Be a help to those who are listening, Father God. Change lives tonight. Save lives tonight. Heal bodies tonight. Heal situations and change situations tonight. In Jesus' name, in Yeshua's name, I pray. Amen. If you will, turn your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 27. Acts chapter 27. And for you all who are taking notes, I'll be reading verse 1, verse 4, verse 9, verse 10, verse 11, and verse 18 through 25. That's Acts chapter 27, verse 1, verse 4, verse 9, verse 10, verse 11, verse 18 through 25, and I'll finish up with Acts chapter 27, verse 44. Now, this message is to encourage you that no matter how difficult things may seem, you're going to make it. And that's the message God has given me for those who are listening tonight. You're going to make it. Acts chapter 27, beginning with verse 1. And when it was determined that we should sail to Italy, they delivered Paul and certain other prisoners unto one named Julius, a centurion of Augustus' band. Now, we see here that Paul is a prisoner, and along with some other prisoners, they're under the watch of Julius, a centurion of Augustus. Now, Paul is headed to Rome on legal matters. For legal matters, he's headed to Rome along with other prisoners under the watch of Julius, a centurion of Augustus. Let's look at verse 4. And when we had launched from thence, we sailed under Cyprus because the winds were contrary. Now, the winds are contrary at sea. There's a storm brewing. There's a storm coming up. The winds are contrary at sea. Now, you have Paul, the Apostle Paul, and you have other prisoners and the centurion, Julius. They're all on this ship. Now a storm has come up at sea. Go down to verse 9. Now when much time was spent, and when sailing was very dangerous, because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them. Now as the storm has gotten very dangerous, now their lives are in jeopardy. The storm has gotten bad. The storm has gotten ferocious. It's a big storm, and it's dangerous. It's a dangerous storm. Look at verse 10. And said unto them, sirs, I perceive. This is the Apostle Paul saying to them, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage. Paul he's warning those on the ship who's in charge. he's warning them that he perceives that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also our lives. So Paul is forewarning those in charge on the ship that their lives are in danger. Go over to verse 11. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship than those things which were spoken by Paul. So the centurion, Julius, he believed the owner of the ship and the master of the ship. He didn't believe Paul's warning. He didn't believe Paul. Paul had warned them, say, hey, our lives are in danger. But the centurion didn't believe Paul. Rather, he believed the master of the ship and the owner of the ship. Now let's look at verse 18, verses 18 through 25. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. Now the storm is so bad at sea that they're throwing things overboard. They're lightening the ship. That's how bad storm has got at sea. And the ship is being tossed back and forth, to and fro. And the third day, we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. The third day. So this is a long, dangerous storm at sea. And when neither the sun nor the stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. This was a long, dangerous storm, and it was a dark storm. The sun, they could neither see the sun for days nor the stars for days. That they were in the dark on the sea in a storm. They were in the dark on the sea, being tossed to and fro in a storm, a long storm. This storm had been going on for days, and their lives were in danger. Now they had lost all hope of being saved. Verse 21. It gets like that in life sometimes. Things get very dark. You can't see your way. Trouble surrounds you. You can't see your way. Things get very dangerous and dark. You might not be on the ship, but things get dark in life. Things get hard in life. The Bible says in Psalm 34:19, many are the afflictions of the righteous. But thank God, but the Lord delivered them, delivereth us out of them all. None of us are exempt from trouble. None of us. It doesn't matter how much you pray. It doesn't matter how much faith you how strong your faith is. All of us will encounter many afflictions. We'll have some trouble in our lives. But thank God, he'll deliver us out of them. See, there's one thing about faith. One thing about faith, faith won't save you from trouble, but it will save you out of trouble. Oh, glory to God. Faith won't stop you from going into trouble, but it sure will bring you out of trouble. Praying and walking by faith and praising God, it won't stop us from going into trouble, but it sure will bring us out of trouble. Paul had big time faith, but he got into trouble. Peter had big time faith, but Peter experienced trouble. Daniel had faith. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had faith. But these, they all got into trouble. But their faith sure did bring them out of the trouble. Thank God that our faith doesn't stop us or exempt us from going into trouble, but it sure does bring us out of trouble. Look at verse 21. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and have not loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. In other words, Paul is saying, I told you so. I told you so. I told you that this was going to be a dangerous storm. I told you that our lives were in danger. And that's what Paul is doing. Now he's saying, I told you so. Look at verse 22. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Paul is telling them, be of good cheer now. He's comforting. He's encouraging the prisoners and the captain of the ship and the owner of the ship and the Julius, the centurion who was in charge of the prisoners. He's encouraging now everyone on the ship, telling them to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you but of the ship. He's saying the ship will be destroyed, but you won't be destroyed. Neither no man on the ship will be destroyed. Why, Paul? Well, look at verse 23. Paul says, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. Paul says, the God who I serve, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, the God of Almighty God, of Creator of heaven and earth, he sent an angel, and that angel stood by me this night, whose I am and whom I serve. And the angel said, fear not, Paul, thou must, underline that word must, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. So God sent the angel, and the angel is telling Paul that, Paul, I'm going to save you, and I'm going to save everyone else on the ship. Good God Almighty. That's some good news right there. That's some good news. And look at verse 25. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. You see, then that's the way we got to be. Go down to verse 44. Go down to verse 44. Now they've gotten word from God that none of their lives will be lost. They've gotten word. God sent an angel in the midst of the storm and gave word to Paul that none would die and all would be saved. Go down to verse 44. And the rest, some on boards and some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all safe to land. They were all saved. Their lives were spared. And so the message God has given me for you is you're going to make it. You're going to make it. Those who are listening all around the world, God wanted me to tell you tonight that you're going to make it. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. Stay on board. Stay at your church. Stay in the will of God. Stay on board with your ministry. Stay on board with your church. Stay on board with your family. Stay on board with your marriage. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. I know it might seem like that business that you're in right now that you started. I know it seems like at times that you're not going to make it. But God told me to tell you tonight, you're going to make it. You're going to make it. This message is to encourage you that no matter how difficult things seem in life, you're going to make it. Just because you're in the will of God, that doesn't exempt you from experiencing storms in life. That doesn't exempt you from experiencing trouble. Paul was in the will of God, but yet a storm came up. How do I know that Paul was in the will of God? Go to Acts chapter 27 and look at verse 24. He'll tell you. He'll tell you that he was in the will of God. Look what he says in Acts 27:24. He says, the angel says, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. You see, God had given Paul an assignment to go before Caesar, to stand before Caesar. So in order for him to stand before Caesar, he couldn't die storm on the ship, he had to present him. He had to stand before Caesar in Rome. You see, you can't even die when God has something for you to do. You're going to make it. Number one, you're going to make it when God has something for you to do. You're not going to die. You're not going to die because God has something for you to do. The storm couldn't even take Paul out because Paul had. He said he must stand. The angel of God said, you must, Paul, you must stand before Caesar. He had an assignment. God had given Paul something to do. And God has something for each of us to do. He's created us for good works, the scripture says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Jeremiah 29:11, he says, God said, for I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord, not of evil, but of good, to give you a future, a good future. You see, Paul, God has plans for each and every believer. God has something for you to do. God had something for Paul to do. So the storm couldn't kill him. When God has something for you to do, you can't die. When God has something for you to do. Number two, the message is you're going to make it. You're going to make it, number one, when God has something for you to do. You're going to make it. You're going to make it when God has something for you to do. I remember when Jesus told the disciples to go to the other side of the lake. I want you to go to the other side of the lake. That's what Jesus told them to do. Go to the other side. And Jesus went down in the bottom of the ship, and he went to sleep. But as they were going to the other side, a storm came up, and the disciples feared for their lives. But they were in the will of God. But a storm came up. I said all that to say this. Even though you're in the will of God, sometimes storms will come up in your life. Trouble will come up in your life. But they made it to the other side. You see, because you can't die when God has something for you to do. Paul couldn't die on that ship because God had already told him that, Paul, you must stand before Caesar. Acts chapter 27, verse 24. Number two, you're going to make it when you believe. Paul believed what God had told him. God told him that he wasn't going to die, and all those on the ship with him weren't going to die, and Paul believed it. And the Bible lets us know clearly, all things are possible to them that can believe. Paul believed God. If God said it, I know it will come to pass. If God said it, we can believe that it's going to come to pass. We've got to believe like Paul believed. Look at Acts chapter 27, verse 25. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, Paul said, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Paul believed God. He believed God when the angel of God told him to fear not, Paul, because you're going to live and all those on the ship with you are going to live. Only the ship is going to be destroyed, but you all are going to live. Paul believed God and made it to land. And he did stand before Caesar. Why? Because he believed God. You're going to make it. When God has something for you to do, when you believe God, you're going to make it. Number three, you're going to make it when you do what God says. You're going to make it when you do what God say. Look at Acts chapter 27. And look at verse 29. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for day. I tell you, it was a terrible storm. They were wishing to see some daylight. And as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, they were about to hightail it out of the ship. When they had let down the boat into the sea, they were getting ready to take off in the rescue boats, under color as though they would have cast anchors out of the fore ship. Paul said to the centurion, to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Paul says, told the shipmen who were about to get off the ship and get into the rescue boats, and they were getting ready to take off. They were getting ready to flee from the ship, get off the ship. But Paul said, unless you abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Verse 32, then the soldiers cut off the ropes of those rescue boats. It says, then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat, the rescue boat, and let her fall off. You know, have you ever seen the movies on TV? On the side of those ships, they usually have rescue boats that on the side of the ships. Well, these shipmen were about to get into that rescue boat that was dangling from the ship, and they were getting ready to take off, get out of there. But Paul said, hey, hold them up. Hold up. Unless you abide in the ship, you can't be saved. You got to abide. In other words, you got to stay on the ship. And while the day was coming on, and they did what Paul said, they cut the ropes. They cut the ropes of the rescue boat and stayed on the ship. And if you go on down to 44, you can see, verses 44, you can see that their lives were saved. Their lives were spared. They made it to land. Why? Because they did what God said to do. You got to do what God say do, even in the midst of the storm. You got to do what God say do. You're going to make it, but you've got to do what God say do. You're going to make it. Paul made it. Julius made it. The other prisoners made it. The owner of the ship made it. The master of the ship made it. They all lived because Paul had something to do for God, and Paul believed God, and they did too, because they did what Paul told them to do. And you got to do what God say do. If you're going to make it, you're going to make it when God has something for you to do. You're going to make it when you believe. You're going to make it when you do what God say. You're going to make it. And my fourth and final point, sometimes you've got to take your hands off the situation. Sometimes you got to do this. You got to release and let God. You got to let go and let God take control. Sometimes you just got to take your hands off the situation. There was nothing that they could do on that ship in the storm, on the sea, in the dark. They tried to take control of the ship and couldn't do it. So they finally had to take their hands off the wheel. They had to take their hands off the situation. They had to release and let God. They had to let go and let God take control. Look at Acts chapter 27 and verse 15. Acts chapter 27 and verse 15. And when the ship was caught in the storm and could not bear up into the wind, what did they do? They let her drive. They let the wheel go. They let her drive. They took their hands off the situation. And sometimes that's what we have to do. Just take our hands off the situation and just trust God. The Bible says, cast all your care upon him, for he cared for you. Sometimes we've gone as far as we can go. We've done all that we can do. And that's the point where they came to. They had to take their hands off the situation. And don't you know that God helped them to make it to land? And all of them lived. Not a hair on either of their heads were lost. No one was harmed. They made it. And you're going to make it. You're going to make it. God told me to tell those who are listening all around the world, God told me to tell you, you're going to make it. stay on board with your ministry. Stay on board with your church. Stay on board with your pastor. Stay on board with your business. Stay on board with your family. Stay on board with your marriage. Stay on board. You're going to make it. You're going to make it. God wants you to stay with your ministry. He wants you to stay with your wife. He wants you to stay with your family, with your children. He wants you to stay with your business. He wants you to make it. You're going to make it. Number one, when God has something for you to do, just like he had Paul, he said, Paul, you must go before Caesar. Paul made it and stood before Caesar because God has something for Paul to do. You're going to make it when you believe God. When you believe God. Paul said, I believe God, and I believe it's going to be just as God said. And it was just as God said. All of them lived, and none of them died, and they made it to land. You're going to make it when you do what God say. Those shipmen were about to flee the ship. They were about to get on that rescue boat and get off the ship in the storm. On the sea. But when Paul told them that they had to abide in the ship in order to live, they did what God told them to do. They obeyed and they lived. Look at Proverbs chapter 1, verse 33. We got to do what God say. Look at Proverbs 1:33. Do what God say. Don't worry about the storm. Just do what God say. Don't worry about how things look. They might look just real horrible, but you need to do what God say. Look at Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 33. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. You see, you're going to dwell safely when you hearken it to God and do what he say. You're going to make it. And number four, you're going to make it when you just take your hands off the situation. They took their hands off the wheel of the ship and just let the ship drive. They couldn't control the ship. They couldn't control it, so they took their hands off the situation. God took control and had them make it to land. And the Bible says in verse 44, some of them made it on broken pieces. Hey, but they made it. They made it on broken pieces of the ship. But they made it. They made it in on broken pieces. But they made it. They made it. Your broken pieces might be a promise from the word of God. Your broken pieces may be a word that you've got from a song. Your broken pieces may be on a prophecy that God has given to you. Your broken pieces. But if you hold on to that promise, if you hold on to the broken pieces, if you hold on to the scripture that God has in your heart, if you hold on to the prophecy that you've gotten from God, you'll make it. You're going to make it. And that's the word God had for me to give to you all tonight. Amen.
My God, my God, my God. What a word to praise the living God. To praise the living God. You know, one thing I will say, I gotta carefully say the sons of God. The sons of God. And each time they teach on this radio station, my heart rejoices. My heart rejoices.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
And hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I just believe that God is doing a great thing in this earth realm that we're now living in. And hallelujah. Those who say, don't leave the boat. And as he was teaching, looked like I saw myself on my knees in the water. But I said I made it. I had to crawl out of the water, but I had a piece of the board in my hand. And listen to what I made it. I made it.
Hallelujah.
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 I made it.
You're going to make it. Amen.
Yes, sir. And,
hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Pastor William Irvin, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I can go home now. The apostle just sat there and kind of gave my message. It's all good. It's all good. Praise God. Yeah.
Praise God.
We got a royal on the line with us too. Amen.
Amen.
Arroyo, are you there?
Yeah, praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise the Lord.
Yes, Lord. Hey. That was some good teaching, boy. I just was following along in the Bible with you. That was good. I praise God for you. I kept trying to catch that voice. I didn't join until late.
This is Dr. Newsom.
Dr. Newsom. I heard that voice before, but I don't know where, but I sure enjoyed you, Dr. Newsom.
Oh, glory to God. Glory to God.
Glory to God. Amen. Well, I know this pastor got a word, too. He's got a slingshot word. He knocked him out of the park.
Amen, amen. You know, just to follow up on what you were talking about, Apostle, you know, we're not to fear. And through everything that we go through in our lives, you know, it's like you said, we go through the storms and we go through the trials and the tribulations on a daily basis. You know, the baby's sick, the wife's mad at you, the husband's not doing what he's supposed to do, whatever else, if something's going on in your life, there's something in your family, something in your marriage, something might be going on in your place of business or even in the church, you know. But, you know, when that stuff all comes, there's two things. You know, God allows it because it builds us. And it's like you said, we're not to fear. Because if we're walking in Christ, it doesn't matter what comes against us because we stay in the boat, we can get through it.
Amen.
We can get through it. It doesn't matter whatever it is that's coming against us. And, you know, and the Satan, he dwells on fear. And he puts that fear in man. You know, and he binds a weak spot. He finds a weak spot in our spirit, in our lives, and he works at it. He keeps on working at it. It's like a wound that won't heal. He keeps picking at it until it starts to fester, and then he picks at it a little more, and then you try to go back to God, and you try to heal it a little bit. And he goes back in, he digs a little deeper. And then you go back to God and you try to heal it again, get some more healing. And then he goes in, he digs a little deeper. But as we understand this and we get to understand what Satan is doing, we can counter that. You know, we can rebuke it. And we can also sit there and just cast that out. And you know, and God sits there and says, "We're to profess our sins to one another." And once we do that, then Satan has no control over us in that area. He can't come. He can't use that against us. He can't bring that up against us at any time because Satan says, "Hey, you know what? God knows it, and so does everybody else. So what do you plan on doing now? You know." I'm going to go here somewhere in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 4, 5. It says, "Therefore, judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsel of the heart, and then shall every man have praise for the Lord." When we sit there and begin to rely on the Lord and trusting in Him, you know, and as we pray, and God answers our prayers, you know, I was talking to a young man, and I said, "Look, here's how it goes. When you pray, you change the things in the atmosphere in heaven." And I said, "And when you speak here on earth, it changes the things in heaven. But they both manifest here on earth." that makes sense to you.
Amen. Amen.
As we pray and we ask for positive things in our lives, and everything that we pray for, God says, yeah, you can have it. Yeah, you can have it. And then when it's a good thing, sometimes when it's a real good thing, Satan comes in the mix of that, and he tries to detain it. Because, you know, he's got demons all over the world that are assigned to us. And he's got demons that are assigned to certain areas, regardless if you're in New York, if you're in Africa, if you're in Philippines, or it doesn't make any difference where you're at. Satan has spirits assigned to different areas. And when you go into these areas, they're new spirits, but they also know what they're to do with you. When we're in Christ and we're walking in Christ, they have no power over us other than that what we allow them to have. They have absolutely no power. They can't have any power over us. It's the thoughts that they place into our heads, into our minds, and our spirits. You know, that's where it goes back to what in Corinthians, where it says there, and it says to take no thought or judge nothing before its time. So when you're going through this dark part in your life and you're judging all the negative things into it, you have to sit there and start to think, how am I going to get out of this? How am I doing this? Why is this not happening? And you start dwelling on that. You start dwelling on the negative of it. And we're not dwelling on the positive side of it. God says, yeah, you can have it. See, as we pray for a positive attitude, positive results. That goes to heaven and God's throne, and he says it back to us to manifest here. But when we sit there and we start seeing all these negative things, the shipwreck, we've seen the ship falling apart. We said, well, you know, we need to cut the dinghy loose. We need to do this. We need to get out of this. We need to do this. We need to go here. And you're starting to put all these negative things in there, and you're starting to tread water, and then finally it comes over your head, and you start thinking negative. You got to realize that if we're in Christ, also what we speak here on earth also changes what we pray for in heaven, because that will also manifest here on earth. Your negative thoughts, your negative words, your negative everything else will manifest here on earth. You know, when God sits there and he tells us this, we are to be held accountable for even our idle words. You know, it's not when we get to the throne of heaven for a time of judgment. Our idle words manifest here on earth, and we have to deal with them. We have to deal with those words here. We have to deal with the fact that how we spoke about our wives, how we spoke about our husbands, how we spoke about our pastors, how we spoke about our deacons, how we spoke about our jobs, our businesses, how we spoke about our lives, how good it is or how negative it is, how it is that I can't get over this and I can't do this and I can't do that. Those things manifest in our lives. And those are the words that God said through and says, we need to be careful on how we speak because we're going to be held accountable. And being held accountable is the fact that we're going to have to deal with those words. We're going to have to deal with those words here on earth. And instead of allowing God to sit there, he says, yeah, you can have it. And in having faith and believing and trusting in God, that it will manifest itself here on earth. And we judge what we judge is God's promises and not the lack of it. Not seeing the promises coming forth, and it will in due time and due spirit. You know, when you plant a seed in the ground, it doesn't automatically pop up. You know, God's not McDonald's. You know, if you go to the drive-thru. Back to McDonald's getting a little slower. I've noticed at times it takes a little longer to go to the drive-thru. It's not as fast as it used to be. But at the same time, the things manifest here on earth. It's even when Daniel, he prayed, and he prayed to God. It took 21 days for his prayer because those spirits, those demonic spirits, were in the area. They knew what was going to happen if he received those at the time he received them, and they delayed it as long as much as they could. But Daniel had faith and believed and trusted in the Lord that it would come to. There's so many who give up on their lives, they give up on their hopes, they give up on their families, they give up on their marriages, they give up on their businesses, their pastors that are leaving the church, there's something like $1,500 a month that are giving up and walking out of the churches. They're giving up. They're falling down. They're giving up and not realizing that instead of walking in the flesh, they need to be get back to walk in the Spirit of God.
Amen.
They need to get back into the throne of God. We need to get back into the presence of God. We need to understand who we are in Christ.
Amen.
These are the places and things in our lives. You know, this is the things that I've been teaching. I've been teaching vigorously, both on the on the internet and in all my things I've been preaching at the churches and stuff like that. Is that we are in a spiritual warfare, and it's not a warfare of the flesh and a warfare of this world. It is a spiritual warfare that we're in, you know, and we can be in Christ and walk through it. You know, it's like Jesus walked on the water. I was sitting there preaching, as I was preaching the other night, it came to me, Jesus didn't walk on the water. He walked on the spirit of the spoken word of God from the throne. He walked on the spirit. He walked on that because he was lifted up above the water, and he walked on the spirit of life. He walked in the spirit of the Father in heaven. He walked in the spirit, and he walked on the spirit of the spoken word. And we do that. We can do that. The things that manifest in our lives, we basically can have control over it through faith. We can deny all that negative stuff. We can sit there and deny all the negative things that's going on in our lives, in our marriages, in relationships, and whatever else. And we can continue to think positive and keep praying and keep saying yes, 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 Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, and keep walking in that faith and believing and trusting in the Lord. But when we sit there and start to look at the negative things, look what's going on in the world. We're seeing it in the news. The news is nothing but negative. It's all negative. And that negative produces fear. And the people are panicking and they're running in fear. And they're running away from God because God's saying, come to me. Come to me. I'm the truth, I'm the light, and I'm the way. And yet, we see it over and over and over how they're running away from God. They're running in fear. They're running because they're listening to the man. They're not listening to the Lord. They're listening to the devil and those who are possessed. You know, right now they're opening up a church on Halloween over in Old Spring. It's going to be a satanic church.
Where at?
Old Spring.
That's where I live. I live in Spring.
Yep, Old Spring. Old Spring. The town of Old Spring.
I'm 5 minutes away from. Wow.
Yep. They're opening a satanic church over there. And just right around the corner from me off of Shorter's Road here, or Shorter's Road, they're opening up a what they call Brew and Praise or something like that. It's a church. You sit there and you can get drunk and sit and listen to the word.
Where is that?
What has the church become? What the people who've been misguided and misled because they've got away from the preaching and the teaching of the spiritual warfare, because they're afraid that if they, because somebody complains, well, you know, that's kind of frightening. We shouldn't talk about things like that. Well, yes, no, we do need to talk about things like that because that's the helmet of salvation. That is our shield. That's our sword. That is everything that we have. Is in the Word of God, and it's in the fact that we have to have that suit of armor. And without the knowledge and understanding what it is that we're in, we have no way of fighting. All we are, we're holding a sword up and we're waving it back and forth, you know, and they have no idea what we're using the sword for. We're doing all kinds of things. We're doing all kinds of things with what we're doing, and we have no idea what it is that we're doing with it. We have nothing because we're not taught how to use the shield. We're not taught how to use the sword. We're not taught how to use the things that God has given us, because the churches have gone lame. They've gone slack in a lot of places. They're afraid that if they tell people these things and this thing and that thing, we're going to offend them. We're going to alienate them. They're going to walk away from the church. Well, they have walked away from the church and they're falling. And this is where we have to come back in, and we have to begin to preach and teach those things that we need to get back and turn with the Word of God. And we have to continue to lift up God, and we have to continue to bring it to the fullness. And we can't do that without the understanding. And without that, we have the lack of fear, because positive thinking, positive thoughts in Christ brings that what we need in our lives. And it's not bowing down to fear. It's not listening to the radio shows and the radio programs and the TV programs that's constantly bombarding us with fear and war and all the gangsters and all the other stuff that's going on, because the world is following that. We're to be the light. We're supposed to stand. We're supposed to stand and be the salt and the light of the earth, that they were drawing near unto us instead of listening to the news. There's so many in church that are listening to the news and are falling away. There's so many in the church that are just going to church to be in church, and they have no understanding why they're there other than that they're being there. It's like they're being in the first heaven. It's just the atmosphere. They're not even pursuing the second heavens, which is the celestial heaven, the heavenly realm, let alone the third heaven, where the throne of God. We need to bring them back into this. We need to bring them back into this realm of understanding. We need to bring us back into the peace of the Lord. We need to bring back into the things of the world of Christ. This is where we need to be. And this is more so, like I said, it is a spiritual warfare that we're in. It's a battle that we're in. It's a battle that we need to be able to sit there and defend ourselves and defend our brothers and sisters by lifting them up and keeping them encouraged. It's like you said, Apostle, it says maybe we're in a shipwreck. Maybe we're holding on to a board. Maybe the waves are getting stronger, but God will see us through it.
Amen.
He will bring us into a new level. He will bring us to a new level each and every time. Each and every time that we go into a new level, a new level, a new realm, and also it brings, once again, new spirits.
Amen.
But we also, God equipped us to fight those spirits, to fight us into the battles, to take us into those realms. It'll take us into other atmospheres. Even if you're sitting here in Houston today and God says, hey, go to Oklahoma, don't question why, just go.
Amen.
I sit there and listen to somebody say, I gave my life to the Lord because I said, told God, as if I see somebody going, a grown man running around in a circle, he says, I'll give my life to the Lord. And the man sat there and he started spinning around and around and around. He had no idea why he was spinning, but he just was spinning because of God said spin. It was for that man to give his life to the Lord. We don't understand why God has us do things. We don't understand why God puts us through these trials and tribulations. But there is not just only to strengthen us, but sometimes it's to draw someone else closer to God. It's to draw other people. Like I said, you know, God says he uses the foolish things to profound the wise. And if that means that you're standing on the street corner and you're twirling around because God says to twirl around, it wasn't for you. It was for that someone to sit there and see it. If it's God tells you to stand on your head and walk on your hands, it's because God sits there and tells you to walk on your hands and stand on your head and walk on your hands. It wasn't for you to make you look foolish. It was for that other person to sit there and say, that said, God, you show me somebody to walk on their hands right now. I'll give my life to the Lord.
Mm.
We don't know why we do the things we do at times when God tells us, but when we don't do those things that God tells us to do, our ships go down. And, you know, we may not have the dinghy, the lifeboat. We may not have a piece of wood to hold on to. We may not have anything because we were disobedient. But God's still faithful.
Amen.
We repent and we can go back and go on. But what about that one that missed out because you didn't dance before the Lord? You didn't twirl before the Lord. You didn't do jumping jacks before the Lord. Like I said, we're in a spiritual warfare, both good and evil. But we just know that the good side of things, that who God is and who Christ is and who we are in Christ, that we can
Amen.
We can be all God wants us to be.
Yes.
And we can do the things that God tells us that we can do.
Yes.
And we can have those things God says that we can have.
That's
and
right.
God, we can, there's nothing impossible with God for our
Amen.
Lives. And that's where the peace and understanding who God is. But it's also, like I said, we're in a spiritual warfare. And brothers and sisters that know the Lord and their pastors, you know, we don't, I just want to hold this. It's not the how many people we can keep in the pews. It's how many we can raise up out of the pews to go out to draw more in. And we can't do it if we don't equip them righteously. We don't equip them with the word. We don't equip them to be able to fight the spiritual battles in which they're going to encounter. We need to be able to show them what it is and who they are and what they can do. It's not a head count, but it is a soul count. Because we send these people out without the knowledge and understanding with a sword and a shield, and they have no idea how to use it. What have we done? Eventually, they're going to be able to do one of two things. They either learn on their own, or they're going to drop and run because the fear will come upon them and they won't know how to handle it. We need to be able to sit and sow into these people that God puts before us the things that will equip the people to be able to charge forward, to be able to sit there and render salvation unto others, draw them nearer to Christ, to be able to lift them up and hold them and show them the light of Christ that's in us. We need to be able to be what God has called us to be and not to stand in fear and wondering, am I doing the right thing? Am I being right on what I'm doing? Is this the right way to go? We don't have to question it. All we have to do is get in the boat, and if the storm comes up, we just keep on sailing. And if it is that we have to, the ship goes down, that's all right. That ship that went down, if you look at it in the spiritual realm, and Paul said to stay with the ship, he was actually saying, stay with the Lord, stay with the Lord. Stay with the Lord. He will give you refuge. He will give you something to be able to sit there and get you to shore. He will be able to want to sit there and take you to a higher height. He will be able to sit there and take you over the top of the mountain. He will make you be able to stand on top of the mountain. He will be able to sit there and take you out of that pit that you're in and lift you up higher.
Amen.
But we can't do it if we're listening to fear. We can't do it if we're listening to ourselves and not to the Word of God. We need to be able to go back to the promises of God. We need to be able to understand who we are in Christ and where we're going. And it's not going in fear. That's about all I have to do to say tonight, guys.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I just want to say, amen.
Hallelujah.
I tell you what, I sit up and let me, I've had a good taste of the gospel tonight.
Amen.
And I'm going to thank God for everything. And I say this, tomorrow at 9:30, I will be on the radio, as usual, Prayer for the Nation. And I was able to get Sylvester Turner to call me back. He'll be on at 10:50, he'll be from 10 to 10:15. And I posed 4 different questions to him if he become mayor. I want my audience to hear what he's saying. If you get an opportunity, we're going to pray for the nation, then we're going to hear from him. The time has come. I know that we know that God, through Jesus Christ, will protect us. But he told us to go and get those that don't know him. There's some out there, as you both have said, the apostle and the pastor. There are some out there don't know nothing about Jesus. They don't even know how to give. They don't know how to give honor. They don't know how to. And
who
stand in the fold, we're the ones. And I got my beloved, I try to say her name each time, A Royal Love, I call her. You're there, Sister Love. I thank God for her. Amen.
Amen.
It's 2 Peter 2:9. A royal prince's love.
A royal prince's love. I got it. A royal prince's love. Amen. And you know, that's her name given to her by birth.
No, amen. I had to change it correct now. A royal Reverend Prince's Love. The judge made Reverend my first name. But
thank you for correcting.
A royal, and Ruth was my birth name and Love was my middle name.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what God is doing for all of us. We're feeding off the same plate. We're drinking from the same drink. We're doing what God told us to do. And I'll just say this much. What God has shown me, it just keeps me to stay humble. Stay humble. As I tell you with my prayer partner, one day I was in so much. Have you ever been into a position sometime where you get to praying and you start crying and you were saying, Lord, what you have me to do, what you have me to do? Anybody been that way before?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, thank you, Lord. I know I'm not alone. Because sometimes, sometimes it seems like he says, sometimes they don't get out of the boat. Every now and then the devil says, you don't need to be in that boat. I look back and see nothing but a liar. a snaggletooth liar.
Amen.
A false liar. But tonight I just want to say I thank God, and we just believe God, and as I always say, because Tuesday night's going to become a great night. It's going to become a great night. You're going to see some changes going on the radio station that only God is putting it in order. And I'm seeing it come to pass.
Amen.
I'm seeing it come to pass. And as I said, we're not going to get on the radio. And I thank God for every one of y'all that are out with me. We're going to press in. And I'm going to do it like this thing when we played football. Show me the goal line. Show me the goal line. That's where we are. And so to the apostle, to the pastor,
yes,
to Arroyo, tonight I want to say I thank God for y'all being on there with me. And I want to get up in the morning. Got a lot to do tomorrow. Keep me in prayer as I keep y'all in prayer. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Father,
amen.
We thank you tonight for everything you've done for us, and you bless us and keep us. In Jesus' name is our prayer. Amen, amen, amen.
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 God bless y'all.
God bless.